Hi guys, thank you. My name's Steve.
Steve.
I might be able to warm up here. I'll try this. Thank you all for being here. Thank you to the powers that be that made it possible for the 21st century for me, as adult children of alcoholic and dysfunctional family program. Allison, thank you very much for a focused sharing tonight. For a number of months, I've been extremely focused in one sense and all over the universe in another sense, and you guys get the dissociated version. I'm really happy to be here in this Unity Church. I was not raised with any formal religious upbringing and very little grasp or understanding of religious doctrine. But I do get a sense of iconography, and I want to recognize perhaps the most pornographic representation of Immaculate Conception I've ever seen in my whole life. That captures the sentiment that I was raised with, perhaps in relation to religiosity. Oh my God. Please bear with me, and at my back too, for Christ's sake. I've been pondering, sharing with you tonight, been pondering since I was asked, almost a month ago perhaps, to share my experience, perhaps strength and hope here. And and given my state of mind, the challenges that are before me these days, I reflected on how easy it is to stand at the podium in two of the other 12-step programs and share experience, strength, and hope in terms of the focus on being a perpetrator and an abuser of alcohol and drugs. That's cinchy. I find this program to be the core of recovery for me from what I suffer from. And and in trying to get a sense of what would be perhaps the best for me, because I'm so self-centered, but also an honest recitation of what I've been grappling with for over six decades of experience, it keeps coming back to me that what I really want to share, at least briefly, perhaps a little more so than brief, is just the nature of the interface that I have between myself and the world around me, including people, history, and physical reality. And my experience that I'm working into here is essentially a very tragic experience of deep wounding and deep pain from early childhood sexual molestation and the resulting dissociation from reality, conscious reality, dissociation from myself, and the also then the resulting adaptations that I've made in 66 years to function in some manner among my fellow human beings. And in the period of time over the last 3 years or so that I've been coming to this program, my experience has been one in which central to me are the, as we say, the aha moments of clarity that come in terms of my appreciation and understanding of just how dissociated and isolated I've been, as we say, hiding from myself in plain sight, being totally isolated and separated from human beings, standing right in the middle of the crowd. And so I'd like just to say a couple things about that, and that is about 7 years ago, my family and I lost our family home in a forest fire, and so I reached out and participated in some community activities surrounding recovery in terms of lost property and people, places, and things. And I saw some photographs displayed on the internet, and there was a couple of photographs taken of a crowd of people, maybe between 75 and 100 people, and everybody was pulling together and having a jolly old time. And a photograph of this crowd from up high looking out, panoramic view, and in that whole crowd, I was there in the middle, and I was not associated with anybody. I was completely alienated. And the only other guy who was standing there appearing to be, the only other person appearing to be dissociated was a tragic figure who I've known and cared for, who was maybe 10 years my junior. And he was the guy that spent 5 years in prison for molesting some preteen girls of another family. He's the other person. And so there I was, the victim, and there was the perpetrator, two of us unhinged. That wasn't the first time that I've had the awareness and understanding about my experience, but it was something that came up within the last 5 years or so, and it just hastened the day when I would have to appreciate more fully going through the laundry list and coming to grips with what I've been doing all my life. Reaching back a little bit farther, I am just now starting to own the fact that post-traumatic stress for me was the very limited palette of colors that I could use to prescribe my life that I'm operating in. And the colors are a very narrow band and probably not very distinctive. Gray, mottled gray, and stemming from a nightmare that was reoccurring from early childhood all the way through my 20s. It's a very abstract, horrible nightmare that would awaken me in terror. And the nightmare would happen as I was starting to regain consciousness from whatever spark that was bringing me to consciousness. And the nightmare culminated in a just a black, deep, violent hole. And I've come to, without professional help, so I'd say subjectively, and I'm really concerned about my subjective nature to create reality where I think there may have been reality, knowing full well that I've got an imagination, so I'm not really clear what happened in those unconscious years and days, but I suspect that that there may have been other molestation experience which I didn't wake up. But the one main experience that happened to me when I woke up was one in which my immediate reaction, which we know now clinically as an experience where I believe I had already been branded or imprinted with a sense of shame. My immediate reaction upon gaining consciousness in that experience was I felt guilty. I felt shame for what was happening to me. And my experience was that with shame came complete and total loss of hope, or loss of the ability to have a parent saved me from what was happening. So the one thing that I was able to do was I learned how to black out. So as I stood there in that group of fire survivors standing in the middle of that crowd, dissociated, I'm really good at that. And that's been a main tool of survival for me all my life. But here I am in a loving and caring environment called my fellowship and my fellow human community, and I go to blackout. Oftentimes it's most often it's a conscious waking state blackout in which I can have one foot in the door and one foot out the door, and I can be carrying on a conversation with you, and I can be on a fishing boat 1,000 miles away. I can be in a rock and roll concert. I can be slaying dragons, and I can be talking to you about the weather. And at this late date, not this late date, for most of my adult life, I've understood that I'm cheating myself and cheating you of me in that frame of mind. And in the other 12-step program, you know, AAA, within the first 12 months, I believe, of my recovery there, I was put in at the podium as a 10-minute speaker, and I was so moved by the power of fellowship that I disclosed my early childhood experience. First time ever in my entire life that I told anybody. I told 100 people from the podium. I was 32 years old, and I'm 66, and it's been that many decades now that I have been trying frantically and desperately to lead a life without having found that keyhole to put myself through to find that grace of recovery. And what I understand today, which is particularly painful for me, is that my ego and my sense of desperation is not enough to put me through that keyhole of recovery. Acceptance and surrender to a higher power is the way for me to get in there. And I think I got a bunch of denial here, or I should say perhaps the level of fear has not been experienced enough to bring me to a point of surrender. And it's been a real hell of a trip. And with that setting of where I am in the moment, I'd also need to offer to you that I'm very intelligent, and I'm very I got a lot of power, and there's that counter-espionage brain here that's telling me that, well, you're just holding these people hostage so that you can, your ego can paint this picture. And so I just don't want to be a phony. And I don't want to experience any more pain of condescension from two parents who I love dearly, but whose love in me is still blacked out. I learned quite well from my father, who was a depression baby, all about dissociation, all about shut down emotion. And I learned a lot from my mother, who came from a ghastly family experience of multi-generational dissociation, at least. I learned all the tricks, all the tools of how to live in a frozen box, and I adopted a lot of that from them. Several weeks ago, I was asked to speak at an AA meeting, and I did that, and I believe it was that meeting that I reviewed a little bit what my experience was generationally, and I don't know if I've done it here, but I'd just like to tell you that my great-grandfather paternally was probably pretty talented informal engineer, mechanic who was involved in building in the mid-19th century, building industrial freight wagons in Ohio. And he was the guy who my father, who in a frozen moment of inability to express or explain anything, handed me a newspaper clipping clipped from a newspaper in Ohio, and the story was just a short blurb about the death of some guy who died in the gutter of alcoholism, and that was my great grandfather paternally. My paternal grandfather, I believe he had a brother who was Department of Water and Power, Los Angeles, Mulholland's chief engineer, and after the San Francisco Dam burst in 1927, I believe my family became quite dissociated. I think there was a lot of guilt or association with guilt there, and then my father grew up to a point where the depression was so bad in Los Angeles, my father went and lived on a uncle's farm in Sacramento Valley there, and to the day of his death, you couldn't feed that guy broccoli. He ate way too much broccoli during the Depression. My mother's family, on the other hand, going back seven generations or so, were quite well-known shapers and movers in early history in the United States. And they had a lot to do with the state of Georgia governorships and so on and so forth. And when that sad Amistad slave ship experience occurred, my maternal grandfather, about six grandfathers back, was the guy who argued the government's position that those slaves and that slave ship should be returned to the slave owner so they could continue the journey to enslave those African people. And the grandson of that guy was in the Confederate Army, and his father was the newspaper publisher in a newspaper in Alabama that was essentially the voice of the racist South and was the editorial conscience of the bigotry in the South. And after the Civil War, that guy's son came back from the Civil War. He was a grandfather of mine. He blew his head off in the newspaper office, and the widow escaped with the two children, who was probably my great grandfather. Man, I can't count them all, but hell, there came my mother, and she ended up here in Santa Barbara with a bunch of affectatious social climbing, bankrupt rich people in the early 20s, my experience has just sort of been compounded on top of all those family experiences. And so I got here, and I've tried to act like an entitled brat, and always had that kernel of God and love inside me that wants to come out and experience the world, and it's kept me alive till now so far. And you know, for quite a while I wore my Santa Barbara experience through the 60s as a badge, and I had enough alcohol and drugs to feel entitled to the Santa Barbara story. And and the Santa Barbara story turns out at this point to be pretty sick experience. You know, we had a lot of fun, if you could call it that, but the rate of brain cell burning that went on is really bad. You know, I believe marijuana has a medicinal quality, and certainly as they break marijuana down and can extract those components in marijuana that I may be able to use for pain when I'm getting really sick and old, I'd say that's just fine. But with an introverted, depressive personality like mine, 17 years of marijuana and hashish was really, really bad for me. It allowed me to fantasize bright colors to that palette I was talking about, but the underlying gesso on the canvas is really, really dark stuff, and at this point in my life it's showing through and pretty boldly black, and in some sense. And so I lived that experience going to elementary, junior high, and high school here, and I got right in the middle of the party after high school in 1967, and it was the peak of the countercultural movement. And so out of that countercultural movement, I'd like to just acknowledge that there's several people in this room here tonight who could count with me on probably two hands, maybe a couple of feet, the number of people that we've lost in our small community here, who each in their own right had their own real tragic experiences, family experiences, and that drugs and alcohol really took a toll in this group. And I'm glad I'm here telling you about this, but I really wish I had those people with me. On my fishing boats, when the big waves are coming over the bow of the boat and the deck's got a lot of water on board, I'd sure like three or four of those guys who are dead now. Those are the guys I'd want on deck. Those are the guys I'm gonna fold up. There's an aspect to the relevance of my time chronologically in this age that I'm living in, and I know that I'm departing a little bit from a track that I've been on for the last few minutes, and I'm really glad I've been able to share this much with you. And I'd like to, if I will, share with you the knowledge that if you consider yourself a baby boomer like I do, tell you that collectively, it's time to, in full acknowledgement of the fact that we blew it, need to acknowledge that we've forsaken our social responsibility to fully participate in experience in this country. And I'd like you to you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but I'm fully aware that in 2008 when the financial experience turned to pure shit, I've forgotten the numbers now because I don't retain numbers very well, but I think there's well over 10 million children under the age of 15 years old that had their homes and their security pulled out by the roots. And the relevance to this 12-step program is that these people will be sitting in this audience as 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds in a few years, and there won't be 10 or 20 million of them. There may be only just a few. The rest of them will not have survived the experience. And I also understand that the only way that I can help this situation is to experience my own recovery. And anything that I can do beyond that is for fun or for free, but it's only as a result of my own personal recovery that I will be effective for anybody else. And that's enough said. Whenever I speak and share in the AA 12-step program, I make a point of saying, if you're going to get recovery, don't think you're going to model recovery after my program, because my program has been as a result of my particular inability to have a broad consciousness about my experience here. My particular set of tools are really very limited, and they have to do mainly with momentary bright flashes of experience. In other words, I lose so much subtlety and so much core basic foundational relationship with the world. If there was an earthquake or a forest fire right now, I'm there. I'll spend the rest of the night putting the roof back on this place and forget about recovery. I'm drawn to drama. I'm drawn to excitement. It makes me feel alive. Anytime when I'm left with a feedback loop into looking at me, I've got to reach out and find more drama, whether it's people, places, or things. And I guess this is probably a pretty important part of this talk right now for me, is the fact that I've been so ingrained with a sense of a sense of desperation when faced with any routine bureaucratic pig duty type work to be done to build a life, I run as fast as I can from it. Get me out on the ocean, and I haven't been on the ocean in quite a while. Get me somewhere where it's really exciting and there's exciting people. And so I react with a sense of inferior judgment about myself when I'm around people who apparently have a solid program, their feet on the ground, and are accomplishing things and building things in terms of relationship. and commitment to community and self. I'm really transient that way, and I want so much to grow as much as I can. Thank you very much.